not even thinking about it. So much of what we have in our human life is things that are programmed into us so deeply that we don't think about it. And when Jesus comes along and announces the kingdom of God, he is announcing something that is so totally different than anything you've ever known before or anything you've ever experienced before, that it's more difficult than changing to ride a reverse bike. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 12 that we have to resist conformity to the world and be renewed in our minds. The renewing of our mind in order to do the things that are good, acceptable, and perfect in line with the will of God. I want to read a scripture this morning. This is our scripture of reference today, Matthew 18. If you want to turn there, from Matthew 18, from verse 1. Jesus is with his disciples, and of course they come up with their very normal idea, you know, simple, everyday stuff that we think about in this world. At that time came the disciples to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Truly I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore will humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Does that make any sense to our natural mind? Does that make any sense in line with the way of the world? To become like this little child, that's how you achieve greatness? That's not true in the world, folks. That is not true. Little children don't have greatness in the world. So the disciples were thinking a certain way, and they had been with Jesus for about 2 years when this story was written, maybe a little longer. And even though they had been with Jesus, they had been hearing the teachings of Jesus, in their mind, they were thinking of greatness in a different way than the kingdom of God is referring to it. Now, I want us to notice something here in this passage. Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set this little child in the midst of these disciples, these men. And he's told them, he said, I'm going to tell you truly. Unless you be converted, that is, you change, there has to be a change in you to where you become as this little child. You will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty startling statement when you think about it, isn't it? So, in other words, he's saying, spiritually speaking, unless you learn how to ride the reverse bicycle, you know, unless you learn how to think completely differently than you have, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that this is a very critical thing for us. I think it's a very critical thing for us who are followers of Christ in this particular time of the world. And we're going to spend the next few weeks, Lord willing, to go into this in more depth. I know that a lot of us read the Bible and we've read these passages over and over again, and as Luke was saying earlier, they don't jump out at us. We're going, okay, I've read that. And then suddenly at a certain time, something will just come alive to you. I think that this is what God wants to do more of. We're studying in our home group the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul is praying for a spirit of knowledge and revelation for believers so that they will know what is their actual inheritance in Christ. And that doesn't come about because we're smart. It doesn't come about because we have memorized a lot of Bible verses. That comes about by revelation from God, and he's the only one that can reveal these things to us. So I think it's important that we begin to understand the truths of the kingdom of God. What happened to me was a few months ago, I was doing my normal Bible reading. One great thing about COVID, you know, most of us aren't having to go into work anywhere. A lot of us are working from home and so on. So if you have a particularly good morning and the word is really coming alive, you can just spend another half an hour or even an hour there and nobody will really know that you're not at your desk or whatever. And I was spending quite a bit of time. And as I read through the Gospels, it just jumped out at me. Over and over again, Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. And so I began to tally this, and then I cheated and used some of these Bible aids and found out that Jesus mentioned the kingdom of heaven 33 times in the Gospels, primarily Matthew. He mentioned the kingdom of God 56 times. And the kingdom in general, without mentioning God or heaven, 127 times. Jesus talked about the kingdom 127 times in the Bible. That would tell me that it's pretty important. And so he wants us to know something about this kingdom because this is where we're supposed to be living right now. And we'll get into that in more detail. There was a young man that I know, and he came talk to me recently, and he said he's a fairly new believer, been saved 2 or 3 years. And he said, you know, I'm having a problem because I know the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And he says, and I'm just not doing them. And the flesh just takes over all the time. And I feel so bad. And he says, I just feel like I'm not making any progress in the things of God. And I was really glad that it bothered him. Because that's evidence that the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives. But I began to ask him questions and it turned out that he wasn't consistently reading the Bible. Now and then he would, but most of the time he didn't. Didn't consistently pray. Didn't consistently get into fellowship with other people. And as I was reading the things about the kingdom, and then I saw this video that you saw. And it really hit me that the life that Christ wants us to have, although he gives it to us freely, it doesn't come into our life in a practical way without time and effort being expended in that direction. Did you notice the man? He spent 5 minutes every day for 8 months. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Just trying to learn how to ride this bicycle. And it took that long before something began to change in his brain to where he could do it. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to have our minds renewed, and it's a process. The Bible tells Christians, people who are already born again, to have their minds renewed. And if we aren't willing to spend any time, see, this guy spent 8 months every day just trying to retrain his brain to ride a bicycle. So if we're not willing to spend some time letting God renew our minds, then this isn't going to happen. And I was trying to explain this to my young friend. I tried to explain to him, you have to think differently. He says, I know, I believe what the Bible says, and then I go out and I don't do it. How many of us is that true of? I know that it happens to me. Anybody, do I get an amen from anybody out there? Okay. So what has to happen is I have to begin to think in kingdom reality. My brain has to be shifted over from the kingdom of this world that I live in physically and begin to think as though I am actually a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that thinking is very different. That is like becoming a little child. You know, there's a story of a young prince who used to go out from the palace and walk around the streets of his city and just to see the people. And he encountered one day a young man who was a beggar, a man sitting there in rags and filth and just begging for food. And the young prince thought, this shouldn't be. You know, we're living in a kingdom where there's an abundance. Why is this young man sitting here begging? So he began to talk to him day by day as he would go around the city. He would talk to this young man. And one day he decided, I'm going to change his life. So he said, I want you to come with me. He took him into the palace of his father, introduced him to his father, the king. And he said, Father, I want this young man to be adopted into our family, and he's going to be my brother. And the father agreed. And so they took him in to the royal bath chambers, you know, and he got cleaned up. And the prince gave him a suit of his own clothing. And here he was, clean, dressed in royal clothes, and then sitting at the table with the family, with the royal family. He became part of the royal family. Life was completely changed. Well, there was a time came when the prince didn't see his new brother at the table. And this went on for several days and began to inquire, where is the young man? And he couldn't find him anywhere. So he went out into the city and began to look around for him. And after a while, he found him. And the royal clothes were there, but they were dirty and ragged. And he was sitting on a street corner begging. So the prince asked him, why are you out here? What are you doing? He said, you know, your family is great and everything, but I just don't feel like I really belong. You know, I'm not doing anything to contribute. I'm eating your food, but I don't deserve it. You know, I haven't worked for it. And so I thought I should go out and make my own way. I should go out and provide for myself. That sounds kind of logical, doesn't it? It's kind of like human thinking. And said, but when I got out here, when I got out here, the only thing I know how to do is to beg. Now, you may think that that's a strange story, but in the Bible, there's a story of Israel. I want to read just a little snippet of it from Stephen's summary just before he was stoned to death. By the way, that's a kingdom thing that we don't really want to be involved in most of the time. But just before he was stoned to death, he gave a summary of Israel all the way from Abraham all the way through. And in Acts 7, he said this. Okay, well, I can't find it, but what he said was, oh, here we go, verse 39. When our fathers would not obey, but they thrust him out from them, and their hearts turned back again to Egypt. That is, they got over Moses. Moses had delivered them. He said, and their hearts turned back to Egypt. We know the story that they said, we want to go back to Egypt. Remember this? They're out in the wilderness. Now think about this for a minute, because sometimes we're hard on the children of Israel, right? They had seen God do 10 miraculous plagues in Egypt. They had seen the death of all the firstborn of Egypt, except their firstborn, because they were covered by the blood of the Lamb. They had seen the Red Sea opened, and they walked through between walls of water on dry ground. And they saw Pharaoh's army destroyed in the waters of the Red Sea. They got across on the other side, and there was a pillar of fire that was over them every night and a pillar of cloud by day. They had food on the ground every morning, manna. And they saw all this miraculous hand of God, and yet they said what? We want to go back to Egypt. This desert stuff isn't really our cup of tea. They would prefer to go back into slavery than to risk a journey of faith. I'm going to just put it like that. To risk a journey of faith was more difficult in their brains than to go back and be slaves in the land of Egypt. And oftentimes, we have that same mentality. We are very programmed by this world, and it's very difficult for us to think in terms of the kingdom of God. As we consider this issue, I just want to challenge you to do something. We're not going to go too much longer today, but I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to pray that God would shed a light in your life to see, and in my life as well, because I'm praying this. Show me where I am walking according to the kingdom of this world. Because the kingdoms of this world are the antithesis of the kingdom of God. When you think about the teachings of Jesus, he said things that are completely counterintuitive to us. Just to give you one example, humans' number one instinct is to preserve life at any cost. Jesus said, if a man seeks to save his life, he'll lose it. But he that loses his life will keep it unto eternal life. He said that we would be persecuted by all men for his name's sake. We don't see very much of that. I think we will see more in the days ahead. But certainly Jesus' disciples did see that. And they had to come to a point where they didn't care about their life in this world. Because why? How can you get to a point where you really don't care if you continue to live in this world? How is that possible? The only way it's really possible is if you know you have another life that is certainly going to be yours in the kingdom of God. And if you're not sure of that, then you're holding on to this life with all of your strength because it's what you think you have. Jesus said, really, you don't have this life anymore. This is not part of the kingdom that you're part of. You're part of a different kingdom. You have a different life. So I want to encourage you for the next few weeks that you would pray that God would begin to transform our thinking so that we would know how we're called to live in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to close with that. Anybody who has any questions or needs after the service is over, please come to the front and we want to pray with you or answer any questions if you have them. So I appreciate your time. God bless you. See you next week.